So continuing then, we're holding on Kuf Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, sixth line. All right, so we're still trying to figure out about what Rav Chista had said, that a person damages or eats the matnas kohona, he's potter, and we said one reason is because there's no particular kohen who can claim them. So Toshma, we learn in a Mishnah later on in our perek, next daf actually, Kuf Lamed Beis. If a person says, if a Yisrael says to a butcher, "Mecherli bnei me'er shapara, sell me the innards of a cow, of this particular cow," v'hoyah behen matnas kohona, and then within that you have one of the parts of the inner organs is the keva, is the stomach which belongs to the kohen. You have to give that to the kohen. The enim and nakhla min adamim, you don't get to deduct that from the purchase price. Because after all, when you bought it to begin with, you knew that there were matanis there. So therefore, in effect, you didn't buy the keva. The amount that you paid the butcher did not include the keva. Therefore, you paid, let's say, $50 for these b'nei me'ayim. You knew that $50 does not include the keva. On the other hand, loka chemen of a mishkol, but if you bought them by weight, and then the keva was included, noitz on the kohen, you still have to give the keva to the kohen, or menachalim and adamim, but then you get to subtract that from the purchase price because then the butcher is at fault over here. He's trying to sell something that doesn't belong to him.
So if he doesn't give them away,
well, so one second. So the question is, if he doesn't give them away, then that's subject to the same din as before. But here we're talking about, in other words, either way, it's supposed to be given to the kohen. But the difference is that in the first case, the butcher didn't sell you the keva because he sold you for a lump sum all the b'nei me'ayim, and we know the keva was not meant to be included. So therefore, in effect, it's as if he was giving you the keva as a freebie, and therefore you don't get to deduct that from the purchase price. You still have to give it to the kohen, though. In the second case, he's actually trying to charge you for the keva, and he's not supposed to do that because it doesn't belong to him. So therefore you have to deduct that from the price. So the point is, amai, now why should we say that you have to give it to the kohen? Lahabi kemazik matnas kohona sha'ochon. Shouldn't it be the equivalent of having damaged them or eaten them? We should say once he has them in his possession, then already he's not obligated to give them to the kohen. Why in the first case are we obligating him to give it and not even get a reduction in the price? The answer is shiny hosam de isnu beinai. The difference is because there the actual keva still exists as it is. So therefore, okay. Surely. So therefore, sure, you have to give it to the kohen. No, in both the cases of our Mishnah, of that Mishnah, the keva actually exists. What Rav Chista is talking about is if you damaged them, you threw them into a fire, or you ate them, or whatever, where they don't exist in their original state anymore, then you're not obligated to repay the kohen. But this is different. Okay. Toshma, a braisa says, Tisha nichte kohen. Actually says, I don't know where this braisa is. Braisa says, Tisha nichte kohen. There are 9 of the 24 matnas kohona that are considered to be fully the property of the kohen. Now there are 24 matnas kohona, and later on in our parak we're going to list all of them. Some of them are not completely considered the money of the kohen. For example, the chos of a shofar, let's say, that he gets from kodeshim, are not fully considered his money. We said before, it's essentially mamon gavoya. And you actually have, for example, in Kiddushin, it talks about would he be allowed to take his chos of a shoyt and the makadish a woman with it. That's always, by the way, I mean, in Shas, we know always the acid test, whether something belongs to you, is can he be makadish a woman with it.
Could he? No.
So yeah, it's actually a machlokes over there, whether he can or not, but because it basically boils down to whether kodeshim mamon gavoya or whatever. But anyway, the point is that some of them are fully considered to be his nechosim, so there are 9 of them. Now Rashi says actually if you think of it, there are 15. Where is our Braisa getting 9? But then Rashi says because apparently this Braisa is combining some of them into one. For example, among the various ones that we're gonna let's do the list first actually, then we'll talk about how we break it down. Okay. So 9 of them are nichtekoin, truma, regular truma, or trumas meiser, what the lady gives, v'chala, that you get from dough, reishas hagez, the first shearings of the sheep, umatonis, the zroel chayim v'keva, v'admai, Truma's Meister of Dmite. Truma you don't take from Dmite, because we know that all Amir Oryx were careful about Truma, but some of them were careless about Meister. Some of them were careless about Meister and Truma's Meister, so yeah. So that's from Dmite. Vabikorim. Vakeren. Also the Keren, Vachoymish, and the Keren and the Choymish. So what do we mean by the Keren and Choymish? Rashi says means of Gezel Hager. We know there's a din, we learned about it in Bava Kamma, that if a ger, that if somebody stole from a ger, who a ger, when he dies, if he didn't have a children, he has no heirs, so his Goyish family are not considered to be related to him. So therefore, so the money that this other person stole from him, he has to give to the Koyanim, who are the Koyanim of that week's Mishmar, and he also brings a Korban. So, if he marries a Jewish woman, fine. I mean, but, okay, well, his a wife doesn't inherit her husband. According to halacha, in Goyish law, she does fine, but in halacha, she doesn't. If he has children, sure, his children. But if he dies childless, then there's nobody to inherit him. He doesn't have brothers or fathers or whatever. Yeah. So Karen Mechoymish over here refers, Rashi says, to Gezel again. So all of those are considered fully the property of the Kohen. Now, here's where Rashi says, I don't understand, how are we getting only those, actually Rashi says, if you count it up, you actually seem to have 15 things, that fully belong to the Kohen. Because, for example, you have other ones that are not mentioned in the Spraisa. For example, you also have a Bechor Baal Mum, you have Pidyon Abden, you have Sdei Achuza, field that a person inherited from his ancestors and gave to Hektish, and then it goes from Hektish to the Kohen, which we'll learn about in Erechim, Be'ez Hashem. So Rashi says, okay, apparently what it is the Braita is collapsing together some of them into one. For example, Truma's Meister of Dmai and Chala are all considered one thing. They're various types of Truma. Bechor, Pidyon Aben, Pidyon Petach Hamor all count as one, etc. So by doing like that, you can wind up with nine. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hanano a Girsa that there are seven. Okay, anyway, whatever it is, so you have 7 or 9 or 15 or whatever it is. So, Lamai, for what purpose are we saying that they're considered the mumun of the Kohen? Lav lahitzien b'dayonin. Doesn't it mean that if a person takes them, that if a person eats them or whatever, or destroys them or whatever, then he has to pay, then the dayonin will force them to pay the Kohen? One of them is matonis. So again, that goes against what Rechista says. Now, okay, the Gemara could have answered that you were talking about where the Matnas Kohona are already in the Kohen's possession, but then there's not much of a Chiddush in that. So the answer is no. Lo, l'chidetnan. No, actually, what this Braisa is telling us is what it says in a Mishnah at the end of Masech to be Kohen. Lama Omru Nichte Kohen, in what sense did the Chachamim tell us that Bikurim and all the other things on this list over here are considered the property of the Kohen? Now, not all of them are his property in the sense that he can do whatever he wants with them. For example, Bikurim are not Bikurim. You can only eat in Yerushalayim. So you can't take them anywhere in the world. You can't sell them to a Zohar or whatever. In what sense are they considered his property? He could sell them, and not to Israel. Some of them not to Israel. Some of them he can only sell to another Kohen. But he could sell them and use it, for example, Bikurim. He could sell to another Kohen, and who will eat him in Yerushalayim. And he could use that money even to buy Avodim B'Karkois. He could use them to buy slaves or real estate, even though for many purposes in Halacha, those are not considered Mammon. But over here, it's considered the Bikurim and all these other things are considered as Mammon in that sense, that he could use the money to buy a Vodim or Karka, or Behemoth Shmeya, he could even use it to buy a non-kosher animal. That's the point. Bikurim, once they're given to the Kohen, they're not considered hektish. They do have the din that the Kohen has to eat it in Yerushalayim and he has to be tahor. But other than that, it's considered fully his property. So he could, aside from the fact that he could be Makadish a woman with it, also he could use them, he could sell them to another Kohen and use the money to buy whatever he wants, even Behemoth Meir. Or Baal Choyv Noitlan Bechoyv. Also, a creditor of his could take them as payment of his debt. So if it's a Yisrael, for example, if the creditor is Yisrael, he won't be able to eat them, the Bikurim, for example, but he could always sell the Bikurim to another Kohen and use the money towards his debt. The Isha B'Ksubasa, the Kohen's wife could take them to pay off her Ksubah if the Kohen divorces her or dies. The Sefer Torah and a Sefer Torah. So what does that mean? Rashi says it means that the Kohen is allowed to use the money from the Bikurim or from any of these other things that we listed over here to buy a Sefer Torah. Even though it's not something that you eat, it's not something that could come to something that could eat. Rashi says, I don't understand. Why is the Mishnah mentioning the Sefer Torah? If you're even allowed to buy a Behemoth Meyer, why should you not be allowed to buy a Sefer Torah? So the Bar Tanura on the Mishnah mentions there's a very logical reason. The reason is because the Behemoth Meyer, there's no restrictions on selling it. Fine, you can't eat the Behemoth Meyer, but you could sell it to somebody else and use the money to buy food. As opposed to a Sefer Torah, not even a girl, you could sell it to another yid who wants to buy it on or whatever.
Okay.
As opposed to a Sefer Torah, there's only a very limited set of cases where you're allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Opinion shvuyim, where you need the money to money to get married. So therefore, that's the chiddush. Therefore, that even the kohen is allowed to use it to buy a sefer Torah, even though there's very little chance that the proceeds of that sefer Torah could ever be used to buy money, could be used to buy food, because he's not supposed to be selling it b'chlal for the most part. The gears there in the Mishnah. Well, that's true. Well, probably, yeah. No, that's the point. You're not allowed to sell a Sefer Torah except under certain very restricted conditions. You have basically three cases, I think, where pidyon shvuyim, you have to where a person needs the money in order to get married, or where a person needs the money in order to be able to go learn Torah. Those are the only exceptions, yeah. So that's the point. Even a Sefer Torah, that's what the Bar Tanura says on the Mishnah over there at the end of the Korim, that even though there's much less of a chance that you're going to be able, unlike a Behemoth Meyer, where you could freely sell it and use the money to buy food, here there's very little chance you'll be able to, and you're still allowed to buy a Sefer Torah with the money that you get from selling the Korim.
Buy a Sefer Torah on behalf of a shul.
Usually when you have a Sefer Torah in a shul, you don't actually give it to them. Usually actually you retain ownership and you just lend it to them. Yeah. The Gersa in the Mishnah, as we have it at the end of the Korim, actually is Kis Sefer Torah, meaning that a Sefer, and the Bar Tanura explains that according to that Gersa, the point is that the same dinim that apply to all these Matnas Kahuna also apply to a Sefer Torah. A Baal Chov could take it as to satisfy his debt. A woman could take it to satisfy her Ksuba debt. Granted, now they're going to have something they can't sell, again, unless they have one of these three circumstances, but they're allowed, it does have monetary value, and they are allowed to take it for that purpose. Anyway, so the point is, so we could say that that's what the Braitha means when it says that Matnas Kahuna, or that in particular the Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, are Nichsei Koyin. Not in the sense that if a Yisrael eats them, he has to pay back the Koyin. No, not unless they were actually in the Koyin's possession, as we said before. But the point is that they are considered Nichsei Koyin in the sense that once the Koyin has the Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, he could sell them and use the money to buy something else, even Avodim or Behemoth Meyer, etc.
So, a Sefer Torah in very special circumstances.
Right. Well, no, he can use it to buy a Sefer Torah, assuming the other person is selling it under one of these, but he can't sell it again, right? Okay. So that's the end of that. That's the end of that discussion. That's the end of that part of the discussion of Rav Chista's statement. So we haven't brought any proof against it, and the halacha is indeed like Rav Chista that Hamazik Matnas Kornoi Sha'achon is Potim and Shalom. Okay. Now, the Gemara continues, Hahuli Ba'a, there was a certain Levi, Davachotif Matnasa. He was grabbing the Matnas Kahuna. Now, the Zeroi L'Chayayim V'Keva. Now, what happened when it is, in other words, Rashi described, that kids would be taking Zeroi L'Chayayim V'Keva from animals that their parents had shechted, and they would be bringing it to the local Kohen. This Levi would go and grab it from them while they were walking by. Again, the question is, first of all, that has to do with the question of whether he'd have to pay for it. But first of all, Amr le Rav, so they told Rav what's going on. Amr lehu, and Rav says, I don't understand. Loi mistaya deloi shakumen minei. He doesn't consider it enough that this lady, shechts his own animals, we don't force him to give the Zeroi L'Chayayim V'Keva to a Kohen. El mechtif nami chotif. He's actually grabbing it himself. What kind of a person is this? So the question is, what do you mean? Why is Rav saying that we don't take Matnas Kahuna, we don't take Zeroi L'Chayayim V'Keva from the Levi? Why not? So what is Rav holding? The Pasuk says that the Vizeya Mishpat HaKohenim Me'et Ha'om. This should be the rule for the Kohenim from the people. So are we considering the Levium to be part of the people? If we consider that, Lishko Minayu, then we should be forcing this guy to give the Zeroi L'Chayayim V'Keva. Because he's like any other Yid in that regard. E loy ikru am, and if they're not considered part of the am, well then, why is Rav saying? We're doing him a favor by not forcing him to give it. Rachmana patrinu, then the Torah is patrining him. So what is Rav saying that, like this, we should know, the guy should realize we're doing him such a favor, we're not forcing him to give Zorah L'chayayim the Kaver, and yet he's going and taking from these kids. What kind of favor are we doing? And either he's obligated or he's not obligated. The answer is, Rav, the answer is Mesaptalei. Rav actually has a suffix. E iku am ilo iku am. Rav has a suffix whether the Levim are considered part of the am or not. So therefore, he can't force the guy to give he can't force the am or not. Are they considered, when the pasuk says, v'zeya mishpat ha-kohenim me'eis ha-om, are the Levim and the Kohenim themselves, for that matter, well, the Kohenim themselves not, because the Kohen is allowed to keep the Zorah L'chayayim v'keva for himself, from an animal is shef, but the Levim. When we say me'eis ha-om, do we mean only Yisraelim, or do we mean anybody who's not a Kohen, meaning Levim as well? So Rav is not sure about that point. Therefore, we can't force this guy to give the Zorah L'chayayim v'keva, because Hamotz Machaber L'varaya. So therefore, Rav is saying the guy should realize we're doing him a favor by not keeping this suffix alive, basically, and not trying to force him. In principle, maybe he should, but we can't force him to. So he should realize he should be grateful for that rather than trying to take away what for sure doesn't belong to him. Okay, Yosef Rapapa v'ka'amalo hoshmaita. So now Rapapa one time was sitting and saying over this statement of Rav, that Rav has a suffix whether the Levim are considered am for this purpose. Eisved of Idi Ba'oven l'Rapapa. So Idi Ba'oven said to Rapapa, I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Arba matnes aniyim shebakerim. There are four things that have to be left for the aniyim that from a vineyard. Namely, have peret. You have peret, these individual grapes that fall off when a person is picking clusters of grapes. If individual grapes fall off, one or two individual grapes fall off, you have to leave them for the aniyim. That's peret. V'ha'olalos. You have olalos, so undeveloped clusters of grapes. A normal cluster has what's called kaseth and metet. Kaseth is that you have a broad at the top, and you have like the grapes are thickly clustered one on top of the other, like shoulders on a person. And nutif is the fact that you have them hanging down, that you have they go down the branch and they hang down at the bottom, narrow towards the bottom. Yeah. So an olalos is an unripe cluster, is an undeveloped cluster that has neither of those. It's just like a stalk. It's like one stalk, and you have like a grape sticking out on each side. Those are olalos. The Torah says you have to leave them for the poor people. No, they won't. No. So the Torah tells us you have to leave them to the poor people. Then you have, like you do with any other crops, shikha, if you leave over a cluster of grapes and forget to pick it, and peya, that you have to leave a corner of it for the aniyim. So those four. The sholosh shibatura, you have three when it comes to grain, namely haleket vashikha vapeya. So shikha and peya are the same. Leket is the equivalent of peret. So peret is individual grapes that fall off. Leket is an individual, one or two individual stalks of grain that fall off. Shnayim shibatilan, and when it comes to other trees, you have only two. Hashikha vapeya. So all of those, the Braisa says, kulon ein behen tovas hanah lebalim. None of those is their tovas hanah for the owners. Tovas hanah means the ability to decide who's going to get them. And in various places, the Gemara talks about whether tovas hanah mamon. Is that considered a certain monetary, does that have a certain monetary value? The fact that you would be able to give, that you might be able to give, for example, truma. You can give to whichever kohen you want. So there's a limited degree of ownership that you have over it, namely that you can decide which kohen to give it to. Here you can't. Here it's just whichever aniyim come for it, you have to give it to them. Yeah. Okay.
5-10 of them. So,
so then you say you divide among them. But well, it's okay. Even if the owner of the field or the vineyard or whatever himself is poor, we take the matnas kohuna away from him and force him to give him to the aniyim. Continues the Braisa. Maisu oni hamitzchalik v'seich beisoi. On the other hand, maisu oni that is given out in the house, because you have when you have maisu oni, sometimes you give it out in the granary, and then Tosfos brings from the Sifri the details that you have a certain period of the year. You have a certain period of the year when it's the rainy season. If you leave the maisa on the outside for the poor people to collect, it's going to spoil, it's going to get rained on or whatever. So you bring it home and you give it out to the aniyim over there. And then later on, you have the summertime, you leave it in the granaries and the aniyim come and take it themselves. So when it's given out in the house, yesh by Tovus Anola by him, then the owner does have Tovus Anola. He can pick and choose which Oni to give it to. In that sense, it's a limited kind of rishus. Tovus Anola is a very limited kind of rishus. He doesn't actually have ownership of it.
No.
He can't decide to keep it for himself, for example. But on the other hand, it does have the din that even if he himself is poor, we still force him to give the ma'aser oni to the aniyim. He can't keep it himself. As far as the rest of the matnas kohuna, if you're going to have zroi l'chayayim v'akeva, for example, zroi l'chayayim v'akeva, the subject of our perek, ein matzi an osan miyad. We don't take it away from the owner. Loi mi koyin l'koyin, v'loi mi levi l'levi. We don't take it from one koyin to another koyin. We don't take it from one levi to another levi. So first let's analyze this braisa, and then we'll see how it relates to this thing before about Rav and the Levi who was taking the Zeroy Lachayim. Because you have a pasuk that says in Parshas Kedoshim, your vineyard, you're not allowed to take the oilos, the undeveloped clusters. You're not allowed to take the peret, the individual grapes that fall off in your vineyard. So those are two. Then you have a pasuk. No, so peres are, you have a cluster, and you're picking the cluster, and as you're picking it, a couple of individual grapes fall off.
Oh, that's true.
So that's peres. Okay. Oilos is you have a cluster that to begin with is unformed, is not fully formed. Let's see, they may have a picture in here. Let's see if I have a picture of it in here. No, I guess not. But whatever, that's basically what it is. Instead of being thickly clustered and then gradually narrowing and tapering off or whatever, it's just you have like one stalk and you have grapes, like individual grapes sticking out on it. Okay. So those are two. Then you have Ochtiv, then you have a Pasuk in Parashat Kisei. Kisiv to Kamacha, when you harvest your vineyard, loisa oilo lacharecha, you know, I'll take the oilolus after you, so again, that's oilolus. And the word acharecha, I'm going to believe you, acharecha is your shikha. The word acharecha over there refers to shikha, because by definition, shikha is something behind you. You were harvesting and you missed one particular cluster or one particular string or whatever, and then you forgot it and you passed by it and now it's behind you, yeah. So the word acharecha means shikha. And as far as peya, how do we know that peya applies to grapes? Gomer acharecha acharecha mizayis. You make a zera shava on the word acharecha from olive trees. Dichtiv, because you have a pasuk also there in Parshas Kisei. Say back to back with that one that says kisach but zecha, when you beat your olive trees. When the way that you pick olives from an olive tree, you don't necessarily climb up. Is you beat the branches with sticks, and that makes the olives fall off. So when you do that, loisafa'er acharecha, do not safa'er after you. Now, what is safa'er? Return it to Rabbi Shmuel. Shalotito tif'arter mimenu. Don't take the glory of it. Meaning, don't take every last olive on it. You have to leave some for the poor. That's fair. So therefore, since it says acharecha over there, and it also says you have to leave. Midaraisa, there's no shiur. We say every morning in davening. Eledvarim shein lam shiur. Ha'peir v'abli korim. Midrabanan 160. Minimum.
60 olives, you leave
one. So you have 60 olives, you leave one. Your average tree usually grows more than 60 olives, but yeah. Okay. So therefore, so by olives, loisafire acharecha means that you can't take the peah. So therefore, that word acharecha by grapevines means the same thing. So that's how we know that there are four things that apply to grapevines. So again, oilolos and peah, it says specifically by it. And shitcho we're learning from the word acharecha. Then we said there are three that apply to grain. And we know that, just Steve, because you have the pasuk in Parshat Emor that says, when you harvest the grain from your fields, you should not finish off the corner of your field, the peah, when you're harvesting. The leket patzilcha v'gomer, and the leket of your harvest, you shouldn't gather. So that's leket. And then you have in Parshas Kisei, take kisikta patzilcha v'sadecha. When you harvest, you harvest in the field. V'shachachta oimer v'sadeh. If you forget a sheaf in the field, then you have to leave it behind. The
measurement.
Oimer means a sheaf of grain.
Right.
I mean, means a bundle or a sheaf of grain. So therefore, so, By the way, we have a number of the Rashis over here that belong to Amud Aleph. One thing about Yesh Ben Tovus and Ola Bailim, not only it means that the owner can decide which Ani to give it to, but it also means, for example, that since that has a monetary value, it means somebody else can tell him, for example, here's some money, and in return for that, please give this particular thing to my relative who's an Ani. That's Tovus and Ola. So again, you're not allowed to do that with Lechet Shekhan Teya, but you are allowed to do it with Maisa Ani that's given out in the house. Maisa Ani, as Tosfos said, during the rainy season when it's going to get
Maisa Ani is from what?
So Maisa Ani is you have to give Maisa from your produce.
From your produce.
And then third and sixth year, instead of Maisa Sheni,
right. You
give Maisa Ani.
Right.
But again, within Maisa Ani, there's two different times of year. Sometimes you give it out in the house. Sometimes you give it out. Sometimes you leave it in the granary. When it's in the fields, when it's in the granaries, rather, then there's no Tovus Hanah. Any Oni who wants is entitled to it. Therefore, you can't take
it. In your granary and take it?
Yeah, well, you set aside a place in your granary where you have your Maisa Oni and they come and take it. As opposed to when it's given out in the house, as Tosfos says, during the rainy season, when it would get damaged or whatever, then you're entitled to decide who can get it, and you can also somebody can pay you not directly to get it. You have to give it to the Ani, but Reuven can tell Shimon, I have a relative Levi who is poor, so instead of giving your Maisa Ani to Yehuda, instead here's a dollar and give it to my relative Levi. That's Tosfos Hanah. Okay, so anyway, so getting back to this. Okay, so you have three that apply to grain, because you have a kutzrach and a ktsira. So kind of again, like the chala pass sort of a kutzrach, the like a ktsirch of a grain. So that's peya and like it. And then in parashas Yisaitzek, you stick to ktsirch of a sadecha, v'shachach to oimah basadeh. So that's shicha. So those three apply to grain. Shnayim shebe'il an a shicha v'apeya. Then we said there are only two that apply to other trees, namely shicha and peya, dichtiv. Because again, we have the pasuk kisach that zeischol is a fire acharecha. When you're beating the olives off of your tree, don't fire after you. V'tonad ve'rav shmosh le'titol tefire terimenu. The word tefire means not to take off the crown of it, meaning all of the olives. So that's peya. Acharecha zu shicha, and the word acharecha means shicha, which is behind you, because you forgot it behind you. And the Braitha had said, "V'cholan ein behen tovus hanah l'bailim." All of these things that we mentioned, all these four, three, and two things, respectively, none of them is their tovus hanah l'bailim. You don't have the right to decide which oni can get it, and nobody can pay you for the privilege of giving it to a particular oni. My timer as divak tibuhu. Why is that? Because by each of them, the pasuk says you have to leave them. Leaving them means you don't give them out yourself. You leave them, and they take them themselves. Right? And the Braithad said, even if the owner of the field himself is poor, then we take away these matnas kohona and give it to other aniyim. Why? Because the pasuk says, for example, by leket, it says, you should not gather the leket or the leket of your harvest. You should leave them for the poor person or for the ger. Meaning lahazir oni al shaloi. The word loisalaket laoni means that the word loisalaket itself is addressed even to the oni. The oni himself is not allowed to gather his own leket from his own field.
He has to leave it for another.
Right. And then we said,
oni means the oni himself here.
Laoni means even if the owner of the field himself is an oni, he is not entitled to keep the leket from his own field. Yes, yes. On the other hand, when it comes to Maisa Oni, which is given out in the house, again, during the rainy season, then there is Tovus Hanah L'Bailim. My time in the Sinek Sivabe, because they are the positive use of the word that you should give it. Giving it implies that it's to a certain extent is voluntary. Well, that, but the point is, in other words, the word nesina implies that to a certain extent it's voluntary, not that you're not allowed to give it at all, not that you're allowed to not give it at all, but that you're allowed to be selective about it. And the Braithad said, "Vafilo oni should be
tzira." Different from winter and summer, basically.
Well, yeah. Vafilo oni should be tzira mitzira nois in the yard. And then we said, even an oni. Well, actually, I mean that's according to Tosfos. It actually just says more generically, "Maisa oni is given out in the house because you brought the grain into your grain in,
right.
And when does it become chayiv and maisa? Only when you finish the processing of it, you made it into a pile, you did miruach. Yeah. Only then does it become chayiv and trumas and maisa. So that you're giving out in your house. So for that, there's Tovus Hanah. And Vafilo Oni should be Tzirah Metzirah Nois Miyad. However, even if the owner is an Oni, he still has to give that Maisa Oni to somebody else. Why? Because we make a Gzera Shavah on the word Lager from what it applies to Leket. Malahalan Muzel Oni Ashaloi, just like by Leket, we said the Oni himself is not allowed to keep his own Leket. He has to give it to a different Oni. Afkan Muzel Oni Ashaloi. So the same thing over here. The Oni is warned not to keep his own Maitel Oni. And the Braisa had said, Ushai Matnes Kahuna, then he was the part of the Braisa that we were concerned with, that the rest of the Matnes Kahuna, because then Azroi Lachayayim Vakeva.
No,
he still could be. No, because he could have a small plot of land, but it's not enough. So, no. Yeah, I mean, the Mishnah and Teya talks about that if a person has less than 200 zuz, or he has less than 50 zuz, so if he has 50 zuz and he's doing business with it, or he has 200 zuz and he's not doing business, then he's not considered poor, but if he has less than that, he is considered poor. So he could, yeah. Okay. Then we said, the Braisa had said, Ushar Matnes Kahuna, the other Matnes Kahuna, could go in as Zroi Lachayayim Vakeva, for example, Zroi Lachayayim Vakeva, Ein Metzianosim Lemikoyen Lekoyen Velemi Levi Lelevi. So the Braisa had said, you don't take them from one Koyen to give to another Koyen, you don't take them from one Levi to give to another Levi, implying, Homi Levi Lekoyen Metzian, implying we do take them from a Levi to give them to a Koyen. So that should answer Rav's question. What do you mean Rav is wondering whether the Levim are considered Am? Alma Ikru Am. Obviously.
Why would that be?
Because if the Braisa is saying you don't take them from one Kohen to another and from one Levi to another, implying but you do take them from a Levi to a Kohen, implying the Levim are considered Am. When one says the Vezei Mishpat HaKohen Me'eta Om, that Om, Am, whatever, so then the Levim are considered part of the Om as well. The answer is no. That's not necessarily what the Braisa means. Kegoin Hazroya V'loi Zroya. The Braisa means that the Braisa may be talking about other Matnes Kahuna that are like the Zroi L'Chayayim Makeva, but not necessarily the Zroi L'Chayayim Makeva itself. Well, my new Maiserishin. Namely, what would the Braisa be talking about? Maiserishin. That you don't take it from one Koyin to another Koyin or from one Levi to another Levi. Question of what do you mean? What do you mean? Maiserishin to Levi. What do you mean? Maiserishin goes to the Levi. What's the Koyin doing with it? Why would you be taking it, again, the Braisa is saying you don't take it from one Koyen to give it to another Koyen, or from one Levi to another Levi, implying that you take it from the Levi to give it to the Koyen. Why would you be taking my submission from the Levi? My submission belongs to the Levi. The answer is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. This Braisa may be holding like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Titania, as we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Yevamos, Truma la Koyen, my submission the Levi, divid Rabbi Akiva. Truma goes to the Koyen, my submission goes to the Levi, so says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm an ach la Koyen. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, my submission can also go to the Koyen. The Gemara explains in Yevamos, Rashi brings it over here, that there are a number of places, we actually had it earlier in our Masechta as well, at the end of the first Perek, that there are 24 places in Tanakh where the Koyanim are called Levim. So therefore, even though the Pasuk says that my submission goes to the Levi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said the Koyanim can be included in the word Levi. Sometimes it says the word Levi instead of Koyanim. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, No, so the point is, so Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that my submission can also go to the Koyanim. Okay, so that might be a reason why my submission says it. So if the Braisa is talking about my submission, that would explain why it's thrown to the Koyanim. The problem with that is, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah after Koyanim. Okay, but even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is only saying that it can also go to the Koyanim. You want to give your my submission to a Koyanim, you could. Koyanim below the Levi, Miyama. He never said you give it only to a Koyanim, not to a Levi. So why would the Braisa be implying that if you gave my submission to a Levi, you should be taking away from him and giving it to a Koyanim? Even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah doesn't seem to be saying that. The answer is Aim. Yes. Because Levoso de Kansinu Ezra. There was a period after, the Gemara also discusses there in Yevamos, after Ezra penalized the Levim. When Ezra came,
when a Levi takes it?
No, so in other words, like this. Minat Torah, Rabbi Akiva says the only person to give my submission to is a Levi. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says you could give it to a Kohen or a Levi. There was a point, though, at the beginning of the second Mishnah, when Ezra penalized the Levim. Namely, what happened was, the Gemara explains in Yevamos, Ezra was coming up with a group of Jews to build the second, not the second Mishnah, which was already built, but whatever, to strengthen the Jewish community over there. And he couldn't find any Levim in his group. And he actually had to send messengers back to Babel to get a group of Levim to come with him. So therefore, he penalized them. And Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah understands that understands that the penalty was that from now on, the Levim are not to be given Maaserishon.
It's given to the Koyanim.
Rashi says over here what it means is Rashi brings from a different pasuk over there in Nehemiah that implies that you would from then on the knas was that you wouldn't give the Maaser, up until that point, you could give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi and rely on him to give the Trumas Maaser to the Kohen. Oh, after this, we will only give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi if, no, we will only give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi if the Kohen is present to take the Trumas Maaser right there on the spot.
Right.
But not in the absence of the Kohen. Okay, the question is, still Amr to continue Ezra to lay out in the fine, Ezra may have penalized them that you don't give them the Maaser Rishon by themselves or whatever, but Mishko Minayo Mi Omer. Even Ezra's knas doesn't include that if you gave Maaser Rishon to a Levi, they were going to take it away from him. So what is the Braisa implying that if you gave a matana to the Levi, you take it away from him and give it to the Kohen? No, so Elok going Zroya v'lo Zroya. No, we can still say the Braisa is talking about, we can still say the Braisa is talking about other things similar to Zroya l'chayayim v'keva, but not the actual Zroya l'chayayim v'keva itself. Namely, we could say, what is the Braisa talking about? Something that you would take from the Levi and give to the Kohen. Something that you wouldn't take away, rather, from the Levi to give to another Levi. We would be talking about, for example, Reishis Agez. Reishis Agez goes to a Kohen. You're not taking it away from one Kohen to give it to another Kohen. We're not taking it from one Levi to give to another Levi. But we would take it from a Levi to give to a Kohen because Reishis Agez belongs to Kohen specifically. And Ezra Sakana has nothing to do with that. So we could say, in other words, the Braisa might be implying that when it comes to Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, we would take it from a Levi and give it to a Kohen. In other words, by Reishis Hagez, it doesn't say the word Am. By Reishis Hagez, it just says Reishis Gez Tern Chotitet Mar. So there's no exemption for Levian. So there you do take it from the Levi and give it to the Kohen, but maybe not necessarily with Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva themselves be in that category. Maybe Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva you would take from the Levi and force him to give it to the Kohen. Maybe not. So therefore, still no proof, which is why Rav can still have his suffix whether the Levian are considered honor. Right. Okay. Toshma, let's let another bright, is Zachwal, called Davashur B'Kedusha, any item that has Kedusha, namely that's also to reserve, for example, Truma, Kegoin Truma, or Truma Smaith V'Chala, Motsi and Oysa Miyodim, we take them away from the Levi and give them to the Kohen. V'Chol Davashur Eina B'Kedusha, anything which does not have intrinsic Kedusha, Kegoin Azroi L'Chayayim V'Akeva, Ein Motsi and Oysa Miyodim, we don't take it away from them, implying that we don't take, so it seems, the Braisa seems to be pretty clearly saying that we don't take Zroi L'Chayayim V'Akeva from the Levi to the Kohen. So again, that would answer the question. They're not considered part of Om. The answer is, again, the Braisa might mean to go in Zeroya below Zeroya. Again, not necessarily is the Braisa addressing the actual Zeroya L'Chayayim V'Keva itself. It may mean other things which are like Zeroya L'Chayayim V'Keva in not having intrinsic Kedusha, but not themselves. Well, mind you, my tradition, well, the Bosa, to continue Ezra. After Ezra comes to them, again, we're saying that Ezra is saying you don't give my submission to the Levi anymore. You give it to him, you give it only to the Kohen, according to the Balazim and Azariah, or at least only in the presence of the Kohen. But if you gave it to him, you don't take it away from him, given that it doesn't have intrinsic Kedusha.
Because you couldn't trust them, basically.
Not really. You couldn't trust them, but nevertheless, if you gave it to him, we're not going to go take it away. Then you don't take it away from him. But Zroi L'Chayayim V'Keva, maybe you do, maybe you don't. You can't prove anything from this Braisa. Toshma, Hashoich at the Kohen or over to Chavim. We learn on the next Mishnah, if a person shechts an animal on behalf of a Kohen or on behalf of a Goy, potter min a matonis, then we're potter from matonis, because if it was on behalf of a Kohen, then the Kohen himself can keep the matonis. And if it was for a Goy, then the Goy obviously is not chayiv in them. So he's potter from matonis, implying hol a Levi or Yisroel chayiv. Implying, but if you shechted for a Levi or you shechted for a Yisroel, you'd be chayiv.
Right.
The answer is lo tema hol a Levi or Yisroel chayiv. No, don't say that the implication is if you shechted on for a Levi or for a Yisroel, you'd be chayiv. Ela ema hol a Yisroel chayiv. Maybe the implication is only if you shechted it for a Yisroel. Sure, of course a Yisroel is chayiv. He's definitely considered om. So the question is, avol Levi my potter? So what are you telling me? The implication might be that if you shechted for a Levi, he's potter.
Because he's not
Am? Because you could argue maybe he's not considered Am. If you're going to say that's the implication of the Mishnah, then the Mishnah, instead of saying the word Kohen, should have said Levi. And obviously, if it means if you shech for a Levi and you potter, how much more so a Kohen? So it should have said Levi. But oid, and not only that, Hotanya, we have another Braisa, Hashoch of the Kohen al Oto Chav and Bottom and Amatanis, the Levi of the Yisroel Chayev. Another Braisa clearly spells out that if he shechts for a Levi, or he shechts for Yisroel, he's Chayev and Amatanis. Pure to the Rav, so that's a clear contradiction to Rav, where Rav is saying there's a suffix. The answer is Omalach Rav Tanoim. The answer is Rav might say it's actually Rav can answer it's actually Machlokas Tanoim, whether the Levim are considered part of Om or not. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, we learned this in Shavuos, we have the whole discussion over there which Korbanos of Yom Kippur are Mechaper for Tumas Mitzvah Shvakadshav on behalf of which people, the Koyanim versus the rest of the people. They have a pasuk that goes like this: V'chiperes mikdash hakodesh. The pasuk says the kohen gadol should make a kapara, should make atonement for mikdash hakodesh, for the holy of the holies. Zelifnai v'lifnim. This refers to the kodesh hakodashim. If there was tumah that took place in the kodesh hakodashim, then if there was tumah that took place in the kodesh hakodashim, then the avodah of Yom Kippur, the power and sword of Yom Kippur, and the blood of them that's brought into the kodesh hakodashim is mechaper for that. Oyel moyed the hechol. When it continues that he should make a kapara for oyel moyed, that refers to the hechol. Then it continues mizbeach and kimash moyed. That means exactly what it sounds like. The whole pasuk goes like this: V'chiperes mikdash hakodesh. You should make kapara for the mikdash hakodesh. V'as oyel moyed v'as hamizbeach yichaper. You should make kapara for the oyel moyed and for the mizbeach. V'al hakoyinim v'al kol amakol yichaper. And for the koyinim and for all the people of the kahal, you should be mechaper. So that's the point. We have to figure out what am.
Including
right.
The vino.
That's the very right. So mikdash hakodesh again means the kodesh hakodesh. Oyel moyed means the hechol. Mizbeach means the mizbeach. Yichaper elo azores. The word yichaper and come to include if there was trauma anywhere in the azores. That this, for example, Rashi says the Koyanim, let's say, Beshogig went into the Azara while they were talking. Koyanim Kamashmo, the word Koyanim means exactly what it sounds like, Koyanim. Am Hakol, Elu Yisrael, the word Am Hakol means Yisrael, and then the last word in the passage, Yechaper, Elu Alabim. Then it says Yechaper comes to include the Labim. So according to that first Braisa, the word Am Hakol does not include the Labim. You need a separate word, Yechaper, to cover the Labim. V'tanya Idach, but you have another braita, Yechaper Eidu Avodim. Another braita says that the word Yechaper at the end comes to include Avodim Knanim, who also need Kapora, because they're also Chayiv in Tumas Nefesh for Kodesh.
So
the point is, that second braita apparently holds that Am HaKol includes the Levim. Therefore, the word Yechaper must include somebody else, namely the Avodim. My love, never mind for sure. The point is that you need a separate phrase in the pasuk for each group. You have a phrase in the pasuk that refers to the Kohenim. It says Kohenim. You have Amakol definitely includes Yisraelim. Now, what does Yechaper include? Does it mean the Levim? Or does it mean the Levim are included in Amakol? And then you have Yechaper include the Avodim Klanim. We're not part of the Kohol, but they're still yet. Okay, so my love, the Hakamifagis, wouldn't that be the underlying Machlokes? The Mar Sover Ikuram, apparently the second Braisa holds that the Levim are considered part of Am. Therefore, the word Yechaper doesn't refer to Levim, it refers to the Avodim. Or Mar Sover Ikuram, whereas the first Braisa, would be implying that the Levim are not called part of Am. So therefore, it's Machlokes Tanoim. Okay, so the question is, in that case, if Rav is going to say, fine. Okay, but the point, actually, Rabbi Akiva Eger points out in Zuri Nashat, you actually have a pasuk in Yoshua that says, that mentions the Om, that the people who were born in the Midbar didn't mal, and we know that the Levim did mal their children in the Midbar, implying that the Levim are not called Am. Okay, the Gemara is not bringing that proof, apparently, because the Gemara is trying to bring proofs from Sukkim, from Sukkim and Chumash, not from Nevi'im, but still, you see from there. Okay, so the question is, okay.
So what do we call the Kohanim then?
No, fine, the Kohanim are definitely not called. Yeah, the Kohanim are part of the Levim, yeah.
Right.
So the question is whether Levim are called Am. We know the Kohanim are not considered part of Am, but yeah. Okay. So the question is, okay, if you're going to tell me it's Machlokas Tanoim, the Rav is Sviro like a high Tana Lema, the Sviro like a high Tana Lema. Okay, so what if Rav is telling us now it's Machlokas Tanoim, fine, then either way we know what the Halacha is. If the Halacha is like the one Braisa, then it means the Levim are considered Am and they're Chayiv in Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva. If it's like the other Braisa, then not. The answer is Rav has a suffix. Ikahai Tana, Ikahai Tana. Rav doesn't know which Tana the halacha would be like. Therefore, that's why he has a suffix whether the Levim are considered Am or not. What's the bottom line halacha? Dorash Maremer, Maremer gave a drosha, Hilchus HaKavasei de Rav. The halacha is like Rav. That is a suffix, and therefore we can't force the Levim to give their match to give the Zeroy L'Chayayim B'Keva. The Hilchus HaKavasei de Rav Chista, and also the halacha is like Rav Chista that we said before, that if a person damages or eats the matnas kahuna, then he's potter. So the bottom line is, it's a sopik, whether the Levim are called Am for this purpose or not. If they're called Am, then they're Chayav in Matnas Kahuna. Right. If they're not called Am, then they're not Chayav in Matnas Kahuna.
Not being called Am means they're a degree.
Well, it means,
higher.
In other words, that they're a degree higher than the regular Am. Exactly.
Right.
Right, I mean, to a certain extent they are, but that's the question. When the Pasuk is saying over here that the Am, Me'ez Ha'am, does it mean Levi'im have to give to the Kohenim as well, or does it mean only be a Yisrael have to?
Okay, that's a good question.